All right, we'll say, first I apologize in advance. I just have to stop a minute early tonight as I have to just get on a call at 9 o'clock, so I apologize in advance. But in Emirat Hashem, we will maximize. We'll have to just stop like at 8:59. All right, so let's begin. So I believe we left off with the Gemara, yeah, yesterday. Lamed Amud Beis, 30b. Says the Gemara, Menahani Mili. So we'll say, ultimately, again, from where do we know this? Now, from where do we know what? The Mishnah told us, in Omdin L'Yisbal Lamin Tol Kovid Rosh, that the halacha is, when you get up to Davin Shemona Esrei, you have to get up with a sense of reverence. A sense of reverence. So from where do we know, from where do we know this concept? So the Gemara says, Amar B'lazer, the Amar Kra, V'hi Maras Nefesh. So this is incredible. Why? Because by Chana, the Pasuk says that she was of bitter spirit. That when Chana, now here's what's interesting. Now, obviously, bitterness is so different than seriousness, right? Than a, yeah, but a sense of, but the idea over here is a sense of like emotional intensity. A sense of emotional intensity. So we might, Dilma Chana shiny, the Hava Merir Libatuva. Maybe Chana's different. In other words, maybe Chana is an exception and not the rule, because obviously she was barren for so long that she was bitter and she was upset. So maybe she's the exception, not the rule. I'm Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanin. Rather from here, Bani Baruch Chazdecha Vabeisecha Eshtacha Ba'Elecha Kodshecha B'Yirasecha. David HaMelech says, ultimately, again, I will come into your home B'Yirasecha, with my fear, with my reverence. So from here you see that Halacha L'Maisi, you have to have a sense of fear, reverence when you enter in before Hashem. I the Gemara says, Mimai, Tilmo David Shaini Dehava Mitzair Nafshei Baracha Mituba. Once again, maybe David is different. Maybe David is different. And I was about to say, you're bringing these examples from Chana, from David, but maybe at the end of the day, they're the exceptions, not the rule. Ella, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mihacha, Hishtachavu LaHashem Bahadras Kodesh. Pasuk says, prostrate yourself to Hashem Bahadras Kodesh. Hadras Kodesh means the beauty of Kodesh, the beauty of the holiness. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Bahadras, Ella Becharadas. Don't read it as beauty, Hadras, rather read it as charadas, literally fear and trepidation. Fear and trepidation. Mimai. Dimali olam emelecha hadras mamish. Maybe not. Maybe hadras means beauty. Now we'll say, what would that mean to say, right? Ishtachvu l'Hashem b'hadras kodesh. What does that mean? Bow down before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beauty of holiness. It's incredible. Ki hadra v'yuda hava mitzayin nafshe v'hadir masli. Like Rabbi Yehuda used to put on nice clothing before he would daven. So we'll say, so it's actually interesting. It's actually a very beautiful drasha that maybe Hishtachvu l'Hashem, bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bahadras Kodesh means when you come before Hashem, dress nicely. Dress nicely. I'll say a very important yisod. We know that in general, right? How you dress really reflects how you feel about the particular thing that you're engaged in, right? If I come looking like, generally, again, a person's not going to go into something important looking like a schlump. So therefore, again, davening requires that same level of attention as well. Same level of attention, same level of carefulness. Rabbi Yehuda would dress up nicely to daven. Beautiful. So remember again, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? We're looking for a source. The Mishnah says, "In omdim hispala elamitoch kovid rosh." Ultimately, again, you can only get up to daven from a sense of seriousness, right? Attentiveness. So where do we know this from? So the Gemara says, "Mehachar." Here's the pasuk: "Ivdu as Hashem biira, v'gilu bira'ada." Literally, serve Hashem with fear, trepidation, and rejoice with trepidation. Right? Literally, serve Hashem with fear, rejoice with trepidation. So the Gemara says, "My v'gilu bira'ada." What does it mean, rejoice or trepidation? Amrav adabar masna amarabba b'makom gila sham tehira'ada. In the place of gila means joy, and in this context, it means prayer. In a place of prayer, there should be ra'ada. There should be a sense of vigilance, right? Or there should be a sense of fear. And I want to point out something interesting. I think I mentioned this before. You know, a lot of times we translate these words of a fear. Rabbi Levi Yitzchok says, in general, Yiras Hashem should not be translated as fear of God. Rather, he says it should be translated as reverence of God. What's the difference? So the Rabbi says, when you fear something, by definition, you distance yourself from it, right? I fear fire, so I'm going to go ahead and distance myself from fire. It doesn't make sense to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because fearing Hashem, there would be an emotion that would create distance between myself and the Ribbono Shalom. On the flip side, reverence. What happens when you revere something? You put it on a pedestal, right? You look up to it. I want more than anything to be close to it, right? But I also recognize that there's going to be a distance between the thing that I revere and me. Incredible. So Abaye Simura tells a story. So both say, so that's the source. That's the source. So when the Mishnah says in Omdin the spot, let me fill Kovid Rosh, that we only get up to Davin with a sense of seriousness, right? And a sense of concentration that comes from Ibdu as Hashem Biira, Vigilu Bira Ada. Rejoice with trepidation. Rejoicing Gilu means tefillah, means prayer. Bira Ada means with a sense of seriousness and presence of mind. Abaye Havi Yosef Kamei de Rabba. This is a great story here. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba. Chazye Dehava Kabadach Tuva. So Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba, and Rabba saw that Abaye was laughing a lot. He was like in a very like what's the word, jocular mood. So Amar, so Rabba said to him, so Amar, Vigilu Bira Adiksiv, what are you doing? Not allowed to be like so jokey, right, and so jocular. The pasuk says Vigilu Bira Ada. So he was understanding that Vigilu Bira Ada means that a person has to be serious in life, and that a person shouldn't just be joking around in life. So listen to this. Amar Lei, Ana Tefillin Menachna. Don't worry about me. I'm wearing my tefillin. I'm wearing my tefillin. So I'll say, so what does that mean? Remember, see, what he was saying is, maybe I'm like joking a little bit, right? Happy a little bit, but my tefillin keep me in the right presence of mind, right? Because again, remember, tefillin obviously, Rashi points out over here, tefillin menachna, Rashi says, Vehim edus shemem sheles koni yomishar so alai. Wearing tefillin shows that obviously the dominion of God, right? The kingship of God is upon me. It's a really interesting idea. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Havi Yosef commanded Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera. Chazi dehava kabadach tuva. He saw that he was like joking around a little bit. Amarle, v'chol etziv yemoser. I quoted the pasuk that says, in sadness there is benefit. And I will say, that doesn't sound like a great way to live life. What it means is like this, is that there is a power and a profundity to being grounded emotionally, and not living life just joking around, and right in a sense of awareness, it's a sense of sadness doesn't always have to be a sadness, but a sense of awareness. He said, "Don't worry about me. I'm wearing my tefillin. So again, because he had his tefillin, about it's actually interesting. By the way, it tells you a little bit also about the power of tefillin, right? That what do tefillin do? Tefillin hopefully keep you emotionally grounded and emotionally balanced, which makes sense. When I'm wearing tefillin, I recognize that I'm in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that keeps me in the right presence of mind. Incredible. I'll tell another story. Moshe has a great story. Marbrei Dravina, last line on 30b. Marbrei Dravina, Avit Hilula Librei. So Mar, the son of Ravina, made a wedding. He made a chasana for his son. Chazinu l'rabbanan dahavu kabad chituva. He saw the rabbis, you know those rabbis, they get a little bit out of hand, right? You know, whatever, open bar, who knows what's going to be. Right? So what happens? So he saw that they were joking around a little too much. Now, kabat ganavosa, again, it doesn't mean anything inappropriate, but again, what it meant was, we're going to see where that Marbrei Dravina felt that especially a Talmud Chacham has to maintain a certain seriousness and a certain presence of mind. And he felt that the rabbis were just getting a little bit too, again, these were jocular, you know, they were just getting like, Just a little bit too much levity. So what did he do? It was an incredible. Top of Lamed Aleph, 31a. I see Casa de Murga, Bas Arba Me'ezuzi V'Tavar Kamayu. He took a very expensive glass, right? Casa de Murga, Rashi says, Kos Shel Zechuches Lavana, a very expensive glass, white glass, that was worth 400 zuz, and he broke it. When he did this, Tatsivu, everybody became sad. I was like, now what does this mean? So Bipashlos, what he did is, by breaking, you know what happens when something breaks, right? Something breaks. What happens, right? You're somewhere, something, right? Glass falls on there, or it breaks. What happens? Right? Everyone's quiet. So what happened over here is he kind of just stopped everything. Mara tells another story. Rav Ashi Avet Hilula Lebrei. Rav Ashi made a wedding feast for his son. Chazinu L'Rabbanan Tehave Kabat Chituba. Once again, the rabbis, we're getting a little bit too labadig. What did he do? I see Casa de Zugisa Chiyurta. He went ahead and he brought a glass of also another white glass. The Tavar Kamayu, he broke it in front of them. Vat Sivo, and they became sad. They both say, so again, sad over here in this context doesn't literally have to mean sad, but what it means is, in other words, he kind of shut things down for that moment. And that moment of silence was enough for everyone to kind of regain their composure. Now, Bosa, I'll show you something absolutely amazing. Take a look at Tosis. What were you going to say? Are you going to say something?
No, I was just an irony because you brought up
Oh, so look at Tosis. Top Tosis. Tosis says, I see Kasa Dizugisa Chiyurta Mikan Nagu Lishbar Zichuches Benisuin. This is the source for the custom to break a glass at a chasana. So here's what's amazing about this. We often associate the breaking of a glass with Zecher L'Chorban, with remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This practice preceded the destruction of the temple. It was being done even when the Beis HaMikdash stood, but it was being done for a different purpose, right? So there was a custom to break a glass at the chasana. And what was the purpose? What was the purpose? The purpose was to go ahead and keep the mood, not somber, because you don't need a somber mood at a wedding, but keep the mood grounded. Grounded. Simchadik, but not silly. Right? Well, so it's always the fine line between simcha and silly. Like, so the idea is to keep the simcha, not silly. So apparently what happened historically is, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, another layer of symbolism was attached ultimately to this breaking of the glass. Really fascinating. And then again, the breaking of the glass, number one, was there to preserve the mood, but also number two was there to go out and remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And I will say, it's always interesting, right? Because if you think about at a chasana, what happens right after you break the glass, right? Mazel tov! And like the music starts, it's just so interesting. Like it almost seems just like it's the opposite of what Chazal tried to accomplish. That's why some do have the custom to actually break the glass in the middle of the Neshkacheich, not at the end. Although I found that then what ends up happening is it's like a little bit awkward at the end because no, like the Neshkacheich ends, everybody's kind of waiting there. Okay, so finally you get that guy that yells out Mazel Tov, right? Yeah, fine. Once that happens, everything. But again, I will say, leaving that aside, it is interesting to see just the evolution of this practice. Originally started just as a way of going ahead and preserving simcha and not allowing it to descend into silliness. And then later on becomes Zecher LeBeis HaMikdash as well. Really incredible. Let's go back there. Amr Luhu Rabbanan L'Rav Hamnuna Zuti Be'ilula Demar Brei D'Ravina. Listen to this. The rabbi said to Rav Hamnuna, at the wedding feast of Mar, the son of Ravina. They said to Rav Hamnuna, Lishri Lan Mar, sing us a song. Okay, sing us a song. Rat the chasana, sing a song. So he sang a song. Amar Lahu, Vailan Dimasinan, Vailan Dimasinan. Woe to us that we are going to die. Woe to us that we are going to die. Now, not usually a wedding favorite, right? It's not usually on the short playlist. I would say, but again, so what's going on over here? So obviously, Rav Hamnuna felt that things once again were descending from simcha to silly. And so it sounds like over here, what he was trying to do was course correct a little bit, recognizing that chevra, we should be besimcha and we should celebrate. But remember, there's also an accountability for how we live, for what we do. So let's do things in the correct way. Really interesting. Amrle, Anan Man Anibas Rasul. It's incredible. So they asked Rav Hamnuna, okay, it's a great song. What's the chorus? Like, in other words, so your part is, woe to us, we will die. Woe to us, we will die. So like, what's the response? What's the choral response? Amrlehu, Hey Torah, Vehe Mitzvah, De Magnon Alon. He said, you could respond, where is the Torah? And ultimately, again, where is the mitzvah that will protect us? Rashi says over here, Hey Torah, Behe Mitzvah, the Magna Alon, Heichana Torah Shasaknu, Behechana Mitzvah Shanu Mekaimin, Sheyaginu Alinu Medina Shal Gehenim. So the response is, right? The song is, woe that we will die, woe that we will die. And the chorus is, where is the Torah and where are the mitzvos that will protect us? Again, referencing the idea that after we leave this world, the Torah and the mitzvos that we have protect us, hopefully again, from the harshness of judgment. Incredible. All right, incredible. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right, so I will say Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rashbi. Asra li adam shiemali schok piv ba'olam hazeh. So we'll say, literally translated, a person should not fill his mouth with laughter in this world. So once again, what this sounds like is a person shouldn't be boisterous. Right? I want to be clear, right? Like Rabbi Nachman says, Mitzvah Gedola Lios Besimcha Tamid. The person should always be in a state of happiness, always be in a state of joy. But as we know, again, the challenge in life is to make sure that the joy remains holy and doesn't chas v'shalom descend into silliness. Right? That's ultimately, again, our goal. Shene Amar, Oz Yimale Schok Pino, O Rilshone, O Lishone Narina. As the Pasuk says, then, in the future, our mouth will be filled with schok, with laughter. When is the then? Emasai, bizman shiyom rubagoyim Higdil Hashem la'asos im eila. We'll say, when will our mouths be filled with laughter? In the Messianic era. When the nations of the world will see, look what Hashem did with these being Klal Yisrael. So amazingly enough, so that's the idea over here, is so that a person shouldn't be boisterous, but there will be a time for boisterous behavior. When is the time for boisterous? When will that be? Ultimately, again, in the Messianic era. Something beautiful to look forward to. So the Gemara goes weiter. So it said about Reish Lakish, Shem Yamav lo male schok piv ba'olam hazeh, michisham Rabbi Yochanan Rabbeis. So it said about Reish Lakish, that after Reish Lakish heard this teaching from Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe. Remember again, Rabbi Yochanan said that a person should literally not fill his mouth with laughter in this world, shouldn't be boisterous. So Reish Lakish was very careful not to be boisterous, not to go ahead and fill his mouth with laughter after you heard this ruling. Okay, incredible. So turn Rabbanu. So let's go back to a little bit. Ein omdin l'espalel, lo mitoch din, v'lo mitoch dvar halacha, elo mitoch halacha psuka. So we'll say, this is very interesting. When getting up to daven, a person should not get up to daven after having adjudicated a court case or after having engaged in learning halacha. Right? It will say, why? What's the concern of both of those things? You know, if a person was just involved in adjudicating a case, right, while they're davening, what are they going to be thinking about? The case, right? Or you learn the halacha. So often halacha is complex and there's an argument and different sides. So a person learns halacha, then what's going to happen? When they're davening, they're going to be thinking about the halacha. So when you get up, what should precede your davening? El mitoch halacha psuka. I will say, when you get up to daven, a person should get up to daven after going ahead and learning like a straightforward halacha, what we call a halacha psuka. So the Gemara says, "Vehechi dami halacha psuka." All right, well, so you know what we'll do? We'll stop over here for today. Next one, we'll pick up with. I'm leaving a little bit of a cliffhanger over here. Halacha psuka. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. Bosai, what's tomorrow? Wednesday. Good. Regular time here. Session. Bosai, great. By the way, coming attractions. Ridiculously amazing Gemara. Ridiculously amazing Gemara. Shkoyach, everyone. Sorry that we're stopping a little early tonight. My apologies.